The International Day of the Midwife is a really important day. It's celebrated around the world on the 5th of May each year, and it recognises the unique contribution that midwives make. And so in a country like ours, it seems that that's kind of pretty obvious, but in lots of countries, midwives are not regulated or recognised in law. They're not recognised as a provider that you would attend. They're not seen, they're not given the respect and recognition that they deserve.
The International Day of the Midwife is very important this year in 2015 because the Millennium Development Goals come to an end in September, two of which are to reduce child mortality and improve maternal health. How are we tracking worldwide?
So in some places in the world, the Millennium Development Goals will be met, but particularly for maternal mortality, that's not going to be the case across the world.
Have you got some statistics about how we're going?
So still about 290,000 women a year die around the world of childbirth-related conditions. That's a lot of jumbo jets going down every single day. It's a lot of women. Most of those deaths are preventable. Probably 85% of those are preventable. Since 1990, so the Millennium Development Goals tracked back from 2000 to 1990, maternal mortality has fallen in the world by 45%, so that's really good. But that's still not enough. It still should have fallen by 70%, 75% around the world. And we know that at least half the women in the world get the care they need, only half. So there's an awful lot of women who don't get even one antenatal visit in pregnancy, let alone the minimum standard, which is four. And many, many women, probably more than half in some countries, don't have a skilled attendant with them when they give birth. They give birth alone or with an unskilled person.
And what about, do we have any statistics on child mortality?
So in many countries, child mortality is done better. The newborn period is still very poor, and something like 3 million newborn babies die each year. Again, most of them unnecessarily die. Most of them die because they're little when they're born, or they're cold and they don't get fed properly because their mothers are unwell, or because of cultural reasons why they don't get fed early, and they get infections. So if you're born premature, you're more likely to get an infection, you're less likely to keep warm, you're less likely to survive those first few days. And so that's many, many babies are dying. Child health has improved probably better because of large-scale immunisation programs around the world and big initiatives from WHO, the UNFPA, and groups like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who have really focused on childhood immunisation. So in many places, immunisation has made a big difference. And education of young women makes a big difference to child health. But those newborn health, those early weeks, or particularly the first hour and the first day, are the most critical for those babies.
So what should we be doing in the first hour and the first day to help ensure that these newborns have a better chance of life?
Very simple things. Firstly, backtracking a little bit, making sure that women get access to antenatal care. Babies are born small and early because women aren't healthy. So they might have high blood pressure problems. They might have infections. They may be malnourished. Many, many women around the world are not well nourished. So having care in pregnancy, so that you enter labour in the best possible way is the first important step to child health or newborn health. Then having skilled people looking after you in labour to be able to monitor the labour, make sure it's going well, going normally, assist the woman to give birth to the baby safely, whether it's a head-down baby or a breech baby or twins or one baby. And then really important is keeping babies warm and fed in that first hour. So around the world, skin-to-skin contact, and it's coined the phrase kangaroo care because of kangaroos, but it wasn't actually invented in Australia. But what we now do is put babies on their mother's chests, both naked, and we wrap them both up together. So that skin-to-skin contact, there's really good evidence that that makes a very big difference to keeping babies warm and also encouraging babies to breastfeed in those first hours. And then very simple things around infection, so washing your hands, having access to clean water, having access to soap, making sure the baby's cord is cut with a clean implement and not a dirty implement, ensuring that mothers have tetanus vaccinations in pregnancy so that their babies don't get tetanus because of a dirty instrument to cut their cord. Many things are very, very simple. It's actually getting them into practice is the difficulty.
And just want to jump back a bit, but what is causing maternal mortality?
Globally, bleeding is the big number one ticket item, and that's bleeding after the baby's born. So the baby comes out, then you have the placenta that needs to be born. The placenta is a very amazing organ full of blood vessels, but as the placenta comes away from the uterus, women bleed, and their uterus needs to contract from being the size of a sort of a football or more down to being an orange, and that has to happen in minutes. And if that doesn't happen in minutes physiologically, then women will bleed, and it's like having a big hose pipe coming out of your uterus of blood. So women will die in a matter of 10 minutes.
So it's just simple blood loss.
Simple blood loss. There are other reasons. So women die from having high blood pressure that's not treated, and so they have cerebral events. They have strokes or bleeding as well. They die from infection, very commonly in low-income countries because of a lack of general hygiene in the birth process and also a lack of access to antibiotics. But a hemorrhage and infection. The other area that's a tricky one to discuss is unsafe abortion. It's probably the third largest killer in low-income countries, and that's because particularly young women don't have access to contraceptives. They become pregnant, they then try to lose their pregnancy or terminate their pregnancy, but there are no safe abortion services, and so they go to very unsafe practitioners, and those women bleed and die of infection.
Do midwives have a role to play when it comes to unsafe abortions?
Around the world, midwives have a huge role to play in access to contraception. So family planning, which we're kind of moving away from calling it family planning because it suggests you have to have a family to plan, and that sort of thinks that you might have to have a husband, whereas many of the young women who get pregnant who don't want to be pregnant don't have husbands, and that's the whole point. So talking about access to modern contraceptives, I find easier. So midwives should be, and in many places they are, being able to prescribe and administer modern contraceptives so that women don't get in the position of having to have an unsafe abortion. In many countries, midwives are the providers of safe abortions where in places where it's legal, and in many countries that happens, but in our region particularly that's not the case because abortion obviously is tied up with religious overtones and cultural barriers. So I suspect in some places midwives get caught up in doing unsafe abortions, and that's not a position that they would want to be in. But sometimes that's how they get pushed into providing services.
So you've been researching global maternal health and the role of the midwife for the past 3 years, which has culminated in the creation of a new initiative called Midwives for All. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, so Midwives for All is a really exciting initiative that came from about 4 years ago at the International Confederation of Midwives. A couple of big global initiatives have been happening. One is that in 2001, we counted the state of the world's midwifery in the first report published by the World Health Organization and the UNFPA, which are the Population Fund, and the International Confederation of Midwives. So that looked at 58 countries at the time and worked out that really there weren't enough midwives in the world. That then encouraged a group of us, about 50 or 60 of us, to come together, and we were asked by The Lancet, the medical journal that publishes out of the UK, but an international, very prestigious journal, to do a Lancet series on midwifery. So you don't have enough midwives in the world. Midwives are important. What can we do to try and get more midwives? Or firstly, what is the evidence for midwives and for midwifery services more broadly in addressing maternal and child health issues? So we've been working together. There's been four papers currently published out of that series. They were published late last year, showing that many of the essential interventions that mothers and babies need, about 87% of the interventions that mothers and babies need, can be provided by skilled, qualified regulated midwives. So that's a really important thing to know, because then you can, as a country, decide, well, now we need to actually educate, regulate, have well-supported midwives to provide the services. So the Lancet series of midwifery was a real landmark in trying to have the evidence around what women and babies need, and then who's the best person to provide them. So that series was released last year. There's still two papers to come, which is really exciting, and they'll come late this year. In the meantime, we've started trying to generate a lot of interest around the world in this issue. The series was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they're really interested, obviously, in maternal and child health. So the Swedish government expressed an interest in trying to gain widespread global recognition of the role of midwives. And so Midwives for All was launched a couple of months ago now. It has its own hashtag, Midwives for All. Four is the rather than F-O-R. And it has a great website and is currently being launched around the world. So the most recent launches have happened in Africa and have had very high-level support. It's an engagement strategy, it's a recognition strategy, it's trying to get governments particularly to recognise that if they want to reduce maternal and newborn deaths and improve maternal and newborn lives, this is not just about deaths, this is actually about having healthy lives, they need to invest in midwives. And so the Midwives for All is around investing in midwives at every country, at every level.
There's lots of fantastic stories on the website, and it is a really fantastic resource because it gives an insight into what the role midwives play in different countries. Is there any country in particular that one of the stories from the website has really resonated with you?
Many of the stories really resonate. I guess being in Australia, I worry about our near neighbours. So I spend a lot of time in Papua New Guinea, and we run a project in Papua New Guinea in collaboration with the Department of Health in PNG that's funded by the Australian government, called the Maternal and Child Health Initiative. And essentially that work is doing exactly the kind of work that Midwives for All is showing. So we need more midwives. And so the world needs more midwives, but Papua New Guinea needs more midwives. So we've been working with midwifery schools in Papua New Guinea, putting Australian and international midwives and doctors working alongside our national counterparts to grow midwifery, to train midwives, to make sure not only to train them, but that they're well skilled at the end, because they have to do a lot of amazing things that we don't have to do in a country like Australia.
So what are the main problems in Papua New Guinea that need to be addressed?
So Papua New Guinea has probably the highest maternal mortality rate in the region. There's discrepancy about what the numbers are, but it's possibly as high as 730 and it's possibly as low as 250. I think it's probably to the higher end of that. So that's the rate is 730 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births. So just to give you in Australia, the rate is about 10. So we're looking
at a big difference.
A big difference. So in Papua New Guinea, women die of the things that women die all over the world. They die of bleeding and they die of infection, and their babies die because they're premature and they don't get fed and they're cold. Papua New Guinea is a really interesting country. It has 700 or 800 different languages, not just different dialects, like really different languages. It has a phenomenal lack of road transport. It has 85% of its population live in rural areas, many of which have no road access to their village. They walk for days to get care. So they walk in labour. They walk to get their children immunised for 2 or 3 days, and they walk back home. So every health centre needs to have a midwife. Every health centre needs to be functional, and that's not always the case at the moment. And Papua New Guinea probably needs about 2,000 midwives in order to be able to address their maternal and child health issues. At the moment, they have about 300 at the last count, possibly a bit, maybe closer to 350, but they can only at the moment educate about 120 a year.
And how does the community feel about the midwives? Do they generally think they're doing a good job?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. We've been doing a study that is led by one of my team, Alison Moores, and she's been tracking the graduates who went back. So the graduates from the first 2 years of the new program in Papua New Guinea, so 2012 and 2013. We've managed to find the 160 of the 180 who graduated, and most of them are working in rural areas, and we've interviewed them. And many have said that the community now are coming to them for labour and birth care, are coming for antenatal care, because they see suddenly there's a midwife there who can do things. And that's a huge shift, because in PNG at the moment, probably only about 40% of women have a skilled birth attendant with them. So 60% of women have no one with them. So actually getting skilled care to these women is really critical, but mostly in places they've not seen anyone in the health centre who was skilled, so they may as well stay at home. And that seems like what normal people would do, stay at home if there's no one skilled. Suddenly now there's someone skilled at the health centre, so women are starting to access the health centre. It will take probably 4 or 5 years for that data to kind of come out in national data, because at the moment it's in pockets. It's not across the whole country. PNG has a population of 8 million. It's going to take time to reach all of those women. But this research we've been doing has been very encouraging that it's heading at least in the right direction.
Looking post-2015 for the Millennium Development Goals, is anything going to happen in regards to setting further goals to help reduce maternal and child mortality?
So the next phase of Millennium Development Goals is called Sustainable Development Goals, and they're going to be much broader than the current Millennium Development Goals. And they're currently going through processes of consultation with the UN, and we hope that probably by September that will have kind of got through the system and we'll know what they are. There has been a big push to make sure that maternal and child health ends up being in the goals. At the moment over the last year or so, the discussion has been, they've been kind of encompassed in a health-related goal. But there's a very big global push to make sure that mothers, women and girls particularly, are at the forefront of the next goals. Because not only to stop maternal mortality and babies dying, both very important initiatives, but there's really good research now that if you invest in women and girls, you invest in your country, because they have a huge economic advantage. So investing in education, investing in healthcare, making sure they enter motherhood in the best possible state, and that they have the right number of children, whatever that number is, that those children get the best possible chance. So it's really recognised that women and girls are the centre, and maternal mortality and addressing newborn care is really fundamental to that.